Hey, I'm just letting you know that in February 2023, I am speaking at my friend Andy Storch's event in Sonoma, California. It's called the Talent Development Think Tank. I'll be running a session on marketing your workshops. And on day three, I'll be hosting the 2-hour workshop blueprint session. I'd love to see you there. Head on over to leannehughes.com/thinktank. Enjoy the episode. Coming up next on Leanne Hughes's Work and Live Large.
So this is what I mean by being able to empathize with the environment there, because it turned out to be a blessing in disguise. You know, I was able to talk to those people there about their lives, what sort of languages they spoke, and what do they do there? You know, why would anyone live in that remote location? You know, stuff like that. So you get to find out about the environment there. And I think this sort of experiences you gain is, you can't buy it with money.
Life's too short. You're here to work and live large. Here's your host with nothing to lose, Leanne Hughes.
Hello and welcome to the show. I'm your host, Leanne Hughes, and I'm here to help you imagine what's possible is possible for you. How do I do that? Well, one way is that I seek out people in the world doing cool, different, unique things, going against society, backing themselves, being fearless. And I seek them out. I share their story and strategies with you on this podcast. Today is absolutely one of those guests I was very intentional around inviting onto the show because he focuses on the live large part. And he's also part of this month's focus of this podcast, all about travel. My guest today is Ryan Soh, S-O-H, and as I share at the beginning of this conversation, I found his work through the Frequent Flyers Australia Facebook group. I love this group. I'm on there every day, just like sometimes I'll contribute, but most of all, I just like comments and just read what's going on in travel. When I spotted Ryan's posts, he does a lot of travel vlogging, and I subscribed to his YouTube channel instantly. I really love watching his shows. I call them shows because they are 30-minute episodes. Like, they are shows. And he has a really cool sense of just down-to-earth sense of humor, a sense of truth in his footage, freshness, and he also provides great detail about the places that he visits. So I got Ryan on the show today to talk about quite a few things. First of all, his work and live large story and how he decided to leave his home of Singapore to live in Australia. That's really linked to the intentionality and long-term view of how he lives his life and makes decisions. He shared what it's like to be a content creator and travel vlogger. It's not as glamorous as I thought it was. I'd love to be a side hustle, but gosh, it seems like some tough work. And his favorite airline. In fact, we dove into a very interesting conversation around national culture and that impact upon your experience as a guest. Ryan's world is all about flying, eating, and staying. He's originally from Singapore and left the corporate world and all its madness behind and migrated to Australia in 2013. He says that escaping the rat race and getting on that plane on a one-way ticket was the best decision in his life. You can find Ryan's YouTube channel at Ryan SoFly, and I also uploaded this video, our conversation, onto my YouTube channel at Leanne Hughes. Please visit his channel, give it a like, subscribe, send him a comment, let him know your thoughts on this episode. The show notes for this one, as always, are at podcast.leannehughes.com. And I'd love to connect with you every 2 weeks on email. You can get my free 2x Tuesday dispatch straight to your inbox. Just visit leannehughes.com/subscribe. Hope you enjoyed this one. I'm so excited to welcome onto the Work and Live Large podcast, Ryan. So Ryan, thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Leanne. Good morning.
Very random how we've never really met or spoken. I've just seen your video posts on the Australian Frequent Flyer Facebook page. And as a result, I've subscribed to your YouTube channel and I just love watching your work and your travels and how you talk about things and geek out on aircraft and things like that. Cool. A lot of this podcast is really focused about the work part, and I'm really interested in going to travel and the life, like living large part. And one video, I was watching your trip to Northern Australia. I'm from Queensland and I've never been to where you traveled, which it's just amazing. And there was a really great moment in your video, which we'll link to in the show notes, where you're at the most northern tip of Australia and you're reflecting on the experiences that brought you there and a big decision you made about 10 years ago. I was wondering if you could share that story with our listeners.
Well, obviously you hear my accent, you know I'm not Australian. I was born and bred in Singapore. So I spent a good 39 years of my life there. And For anyone who has worked and lived in Singapore, you know it is not Australia. Everyone works for their money. And I got to say, if you want to earn your money, Singapore is a good place to go. But there's work-life balance is really non-existent there. It was relentless. So my work schedule was, if I wasn't traveling, I would be at the office for 12 hours sometimes. My longest shift was, I started at 8 in the morning and I did not finish until 4 a.m. the next day. So that was the longest ever time I've spent at the office. And that was about a month before I left for Australia. And that was really the tipping point. By then I was leaving, so I didn't really care, but I was like, far out, you know, I don't think I would ever want to work like that again. Because when I went to the car park to pick up my car at 4 a.m. the next morning, my car was the only one there. Right. So that was like a moment where I was like, oh my God, I will not allow this ever to happen to me again. So yeah, so that was pretty much my life in Singapore. It was just work. And even when we took leave to go on holidays, you know, we were expected to have our phones next to us because our clients were expected to be able to reach us. And it's funny though, here is the kicker, because a lot of our clients were in Europe and in America, especially in Europe. As soon as they hit summer, you're not able to get them. And you're not even allowed to call them. But they were allowed to call us. So I was like, hey, where's the fairness there, you know? Yeah. So that was pretty much my life in Singapore. It was good while it lasted. Make no mistake, I miss the money.
Mm.
Okay, I do miss the money, but I do not miss the stress and I do not miss the nonstop pressure pot situation there. Yeah, so that was my life in Singapore.
Wow, that's insane. But that work shift and even driving home, you would have been like, oh my gosh, just stay awake, Ryan, just stay awake. I've been fatigued at work sometimes. I've got to that's really interesting because I think people that I've worked in corporate as well, and I remember looking around and I see how addictive the money is and how
you
sort of create a prison for yourself, because once you start earning more money, then you create a more expensive lifestyle and that just creates a cycle where you can't break. Yep. So what gave you, I mean, I'm sure you've got colleagues that are still out there doing those crazy hours. What was it about you, Ryan, that made you was like, I need to leave this. The money isn't everything. Like, how did you decide that?
Because before I went into corporate, I was actually a military guy. I started my career with the Singapore Air Force.
Yeah.
And Singapore being so small, because Singapore is like an island. So, you know, Air Force island doesn't really work. So they send us overseas a lot. So we went to France, we went to Indonesia, America. And one of the places which kickstarted my migration journey was Australia. So in here in Australia, we train in pretty much all over from Darwin to Woomera to Pierce in Western Australia, Tamworth in New South Wales. So I travel a lot in Australia when I was with the Singapore Air Force. And that was when I fell in love with Australia. I was like, wow, you know, Australia's nice. But being Asian, we don't want to be too far away from our motherland. So I was like, Australia is far enough to be different, but not too far to be on the other side of the world. So in about year 2000, that was when I started to think maybe it's possible to create a life for me here in Australia. But I needed to get out of military, because if you want to migrate to Australia, you need a certain skill set. And being in the military is not it. So I needed to kickstart my plan. If I was serious about migrating to Australia, I needed to kickstart my plan to gather corporate experience. So that was when I decided, okay, at 30, I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave the Air Force. I'm going to go to university to get a degree. And then work my way up the corporate ladder until I was about 39, 40. So that was my plan. It was a long
plan. It is a long plan. Yeah.
It's a long plan, but if you set your mind to it, I knew when I was in my late 20s that Singapore's not for me. Yeah. So
what was
I said,
can I ask what was it about? Because as a traveler, I mean, I've never lived in Singapore, but I fly in. I love, you know, love the food. I love the humidity. I love the shopping.
Australians absolutely love Singapore. Every time I tell them I'm from Singapore, they're like, oh my God, I love your country. I love the airport. Yeah. And then it stops there. I'm like, you know, that there are things outside of the airport. A lot of people go on and on about how great the airport is. I'm like, yeah. Of course, when you come from Australia, yeah, anything outside of Australian airports are great.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, of course, growing up gay in Singapore had a big part to do with it as well. It is not simple. It is bad enough being a straight person because there's just no escape, you know, in that bubble. And let alone being a gay person in there. There is just nowhere for you to maneuver.
Yeah.
Nowhere. You see Singapore as this, you know, this gleaming modern metropolis, but the thinking is still very traditional.
Yes.
Unfortunately. Yeah. So that had a part to do with it as well. So I that's why I decided, okay, Australia.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, we're so happy that you're here. And it was really interesting to say, like, no room to maneuver. I mean, Singapore is just an island nation and it is quite small. And then you've moved to like one of the biggest sort of continents and land masses in the world in Australia. In terms of that expansive growth, that's really cool. So tell me, I mean, you've had this history in the military where you're traveling all around. Was doing that, like, is that why you love travel? Because you had all these great experiences, you met great people. Like, what do you think, what drives you to create content around travel now?
Well, I always believe that travel creates empathy, right? And because of my unfortunate disposition growing up as a gay person in Singapore, I already had this empathy in me anyway. Because when you're in the environment, you tend to be a little bit more sensitive to what other people are going through. And I realized that when you travel, you get exposed to other people's languages, other people's cultures, so you tend to have a heightened appreciation of someone else's disposition. And a lot of times, when I say travel, I really mean travel. I don't mean just going to Bali for the weekend, staying at a 5-star resort. No, that is not the kind of empathy I'm looking for. When I say travel, like, for example, my Cape York trip, right? I went there, I spoke with the locals who were willing to speak to me anyway. I mean, you saw the part of the video where I said that this face was the only one that stuck out like a sore thumb, because who the hell goes there for a holiday during wet season?
I know.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize it was wet season until I planned the whole thing. And then I was like, let's check what the weather is like. And then I was like, thunderstorm, thunderstorm, thunderstorm. That was all I saw. So throughout the entire time, I was the only tourist there. So this is what I mean by being able to empathize with the environment there, because it turned out to be a blessing in disguise. You know, I was able to talk to those people there about their lives, what sort of languages they spoke, and what do they do there? You know, why would anyone live in that remote location? You know, stuff like that. So you get to find out about the environment there. And I think this sort of experiences you gain is you can't buy it with money.
That's right. That's why. Yeah. And I think with your that was a really funny episode. Like, my husband and I were watching it. The thing about you as well, Ryan, like, you just speak, I don't know, like, you're very, I don't know if it's charismatic, but you speak your truth and you're just very honest. And I think that's really nice to watch.
Well, I think you weren't the only one who told me about that raw honesty in Cape York, because I didn't even realize how I sounded until I broadcast that video. Because to me, I was just concentrating on getting the video out, trying to cram as much information as possible into that video and get it out. But the feedback I got from that video was, some people told me they cried watching the video because they could read. I was like, wow, okay, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
They told me it was raw, it was emotional. They could feel me. They could feel that I was crying. But I told them, look, I wasn't crying. I was just at that moment when I was at that tip. Because I mentioned in one of my Facebook posts that going to such a place like Pujinka, the tip, it will touch you. So that was what happened. It touched me when I was there because I was just surrounded by all this beauty and I was all by myself. You know, I had no one to share it with. And I was fine because the last thing I needed was to have a line waiting to take a selfie at that tip. This is what I hate when I go to, when I have so much expectations of a location and I go there and this is what happens. Everyone is lining up to take a selfie. I was so afraid that was going to happen, but I ended up on my own over there. And I was like, thank God I'm by myself. So that was what happened when I was there. I didn't expect it to come across as people thought that I was going to break down in tears when I was there. No, but I was just so taken aback by the beauty there. So I suppose that was why it was raw.
Because
I was getting touched by what was happening there. I know it sounds dramatic, but that was really what happened when I was there.
And I don't think it wasn't dramatic. It was just simple, but it was like this culmination. It's so nice. And you said before about this 10-year plan when you were 30, like all the intention behind what you did. I think what really stuck with me about that moment is like, well, you actually were very intentional about making these decisions in our life. And I think back to travel, like this is a bit of a travel pun, but we seem to live a lot of our lives on autopilot where we just go through the motions. We don't really pull up and go, actually is where I'm headed, where I want to go. And we just seem to sort of just cruise control. And I think what struck me in that moment was you were very intentional and you decided and you got this. And it's so nice to see that celebrated. Like, it's so good to see that. Some happy news.
It was a good feeling.
The other thing, cool thing that you do is, well, first of all, I was watching, I've lived in the remote Kimberley region of Western Australia. And the fact that you were out four-wheel driving on your own, I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope this guy's going to be okay. I hope he's got a sat phone. And then I think you got to a river crossing and it was way too deep. You didn't go through. I was like, thank goodness you didn't go through because that could have been quite dangerous. Another thing you do is you, when you go to Australian towns, you go have a pub dinner. That's what I totally recommend that as well as a great way of like meeting the locals.
Because a lot of times, if you look at a town tavern, it's very intimidating. If you're not into that, it looks intimidating because Bamaga Tavern, to be honest, is not pretty. It looks like a warehouse that has lights hung around it, so you can't see what's going on from the outside. So to be honest, when you approach it, you're going to have to take a deep breath and then open the door to go in. This is how Bamaga Tavern looks like. It's intimidating, even though they try to pretty it with Christmas lights and all. But, you know, so this is one thing you have. This is a barrier you've got to step through. You've got to step over in order to go into a pub in a small town like Bamaga. Yeah.
So tell me more about that. That was a really interesting approach that you say that any time that you've got like a barrier, what you do is you take a deep breath and then you'll go forward. Do you usually, and let's just talk about that with aspects of your life, Ryan, do you usually break through the barrier and go through most of the time? Do you back yourself?
I always make sure there's a plan B. Especially for like, you know, migration to another country is a huge step. Right. Not a lot of people understand migration because who hasn't worked overseas? I have. You know, I've been sent overseas to work. I have my own apartment. I have my own. I have hardship allowances. You know, I even have a driver. When I was sent to Jakarta to work.
Yeah. Same.
You're not going to take public transport when you're there. You know, that place is crazy. You're going to need a driver to drive you around. So when I get sent overseas to work as an expat, everything is laid out for me. But when you migrate to another country, you're on your own. The unique thing about Australia is one of the few countries in the world where you need to be qualified to migrate before you give you the visa. Whereas if you go to Singapore, you can arrive as a tourist, look for a job, get that job, and then you get the visa. Australia works the other way around. They want you, or rather we want arrivals to be qualified before they are even allowed to come to the airport. So here in Australia, you spend a lot of money getting the visa before you're even allowed to come here. So it's a huge decision, and the visa applications are not cheap. You're talking like 15,000-20,000 per pop.
That's
so
a gamble.
It's a huge decision to say, yes, I'm going to do it. To actually doing it. A lot of people talk is cheap. You know, a lot of Singaporeans are stressed. They're like, oh, what the fuck? I know, just migrate. Yeah. You know, just, but to actually do it is another thing. I actually have a whole episode of a migration journey, three-part migration journey on my YouTube channel. And that's very popular with Singaporeans. That video is trending, especially part one. Part one talks about why should we or should we not migrate. So part one is always trending on my channel because a lot of Singaporeans watch it because I don't sugarcoat stuff there.
Yeah.
I want to make things as real as possible so that you're in the right frame of mind when you make the decision, yes, we're going to talk to the migration journey. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk to the migration agent. Yeah.
Yeah, great. We'll link to those episodes in the show notes for this one. Now, I'd love to geek out on travel with you. I want to ask you a question. So we're flying to Bangkok on Friday. We originally had flights economy with Qantas, and then I've seen we have to fly Brisbane down to Sydney change, and it's just been a bit of a mess down there.
So, oh, did they change the flights for you?
Well, just the transit between domestic and international, I've just seen has been really quite hard. So I actually cancelled the Qantas flights and booked business on Singapore Airlines because I just think... Oh. So was that a good move?
Well, if you're flying to Asia, you can't go wrong with Singapore Airlines.
Mm. Good, thank you.
I used to work with them.
Oh, I didn't know that. Fantastic. Well, they've got such a great reputation.
Excuse me. Sorry, got to cut that out. Yeah. So I used to work with Singapore Airlines. I was a pilot trainee with them.
No way.
So Australia was my plan B.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So yeah. I tried to be a pilot with them when I was in the military, I was an air traffic controller. So the next, normally as an air traffic controller, the next logical step is you want to try and be a pilot. I could fly the plane, no problem. Really? But what stumbled me was the theory, believe it or not, the sit down exam. I stumbled there because I was away from school for about 10 years by then. So my brain was a bit rusty. Yeah. So Singapore Airlines is my ex-employer.
Oh, hilarious. Well, I mean, they've got such a great reputation. Do you have a favorite airline?
I actually do. I do. I used to be a very frequent flyer with Malaysia Airlines, but their reputation is a bit iffy. But to be honest, I was pretty lucky because I've never had a really shitty experience with them before. So they've always been really good to me, so I've got no problem with them. Singapore Airlines, my relationship is a bit complicated because, you know, ex-employer. So yeah. I look at them with a different view.
You've got more information that I don't need to know. Yeah.
Yeah. So I know the innings of how they work. So when I see the gloss and shine, I'm like, yeah.
Oh, I know what you're about, you know. Interesting.
But they're good. I mean, from a normal consumer's point of view, like you, have you flown them before?
I have, but only economy.
Yeah. I mean, even in economy class, it's like business class.
You still get Singapore slings in economy.
Exactly. And there was a time they even had champagne, you know, when times were good, they even had champagne in economy class.
Amazing.
And they were the only airline who did it. And everyone was like, you know, you're spoiling the market for us. Yeah, I mean, you're in good hands with SQ. Yeah.
Cool. So what was your, so Malaysia was your favorite. What about Emirates?
I don't know. I'm Emirates has been around for what, 20, 25 years now? They've been around for almost 30 years now. Make no mistake, they are a good carrier. They are out there, they're blingy, they throw everything but the book at you. So they are a good carrier in terms of having a lot of features. Their hardware is very good. But this is when I have a problem with is the software, their crew.
Mm.
Because they have crews from every time when you board a flight, they have crew from 20, 30 different countries. Okay. And every country has a different interpretation of what service is.
Yeah, okay, right.
So as a result, the service delivery. Okay, because I used to work for Singapore Airlines, we are a stickler for
compliance,
for being consistent.
Yes,
in your service delivery. Okay, not a hair out of place.
Yeah,
right. Everyone's makeup is the same. When you present your meal to your customer, the logo has to be facing the customer. You know, little details like this. This is what Singapore Airlines is. Mm. Okay, when you've been brought up in Singapore, everything has to be okay. And Singapore Airlines' service protocol is pretty much what Singapore is. Everything has to be, everything has its place.
Mm.
So when I come to an airline like Emirates, everyone's service delivery is everywhere. You know, they even the way they speak is different. So when you have different service delivery from different nationalities, it gets a bit, yeah.
Yeah, that's really, it's really interesting you say that, because I remember flying from Brisbane to Dubai and then the Dubai to Paris leg was super different. Like it felt different.
Yeah.
I didn't really think about that. That's a really good point. I know this is a really broad question because you're a travel blogger, but do you have any favorite places that you think people have to go to?
Cape York.
Oh.
I'm still talking about it.
Okay.
I'm talking about it. Yes, this is how much that place touched me. And my husband's rolling his eyes every time I bring up Cape York. When I see when we watch ARB ads on TV, right, and I see the four-wheel drive going through the mud, I'm like, oh my God, I miss Cape York. I keep bringing it up because I think Australia on its own, not a lot of people realize how diverse Australia
You're
is.
Right.
Even Australians themselves, you know, like you, you've lived in Queensland, and you've never been to Cape York. And when my friends saw my Facebook, what I did, and they're like, far out, mate. I mean, you've been to places I've never been to.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I've connected by road, right? By road. I've connected all the towns from Cairns over the years. I've connected the towns from Cairns all the way to Adelaide, every single town by the coast. I've connected them all by road. Over the years, right? Because I used to do a lot of road trips when I was young, and yeah. So this is how much I love to travel within Australia.
That's so great. We definitely take our own doorstep for granted, and I feel bad now because I had 2 years of like not being able to leave Queensland, and I still haven't been to Cape York. I feel really. I will get there. I think your video. I was like, wow, but what an interesting town! Like all the dogs, like on the loose. I thought that was really like it just looked like it's such a cool place and these little townships that I didn't even know existed. So
yeah,
the
whole reason how I found out about Bamke was last year, when I attended one of the inaugurals for Rex Regional Express. So they were inaugurating their flight between Melbourne and Adelaide. So I was on the inaugural flight.
Cool.
So I was sitting there waiting for boarding to finish. So I just whipped out the in-flight magazine and I was like, where's the furthest place Rex flies to? And I opened the in-flight magazine, and that was how I found Bamaga. I was like, what's up there? And that was on the 1st of March last year. And that was when the idea started to form.
Mm.
Oh, I should get to... I just looked at the in-flight magazine and I pointed. Oh, NPA, Bamaga, I should go there. And that was how I started to plan that trip. Just like that, just looking at Wex's cool. in-flight magazine. I mean, how simple is that, right?
That's really cool. I love that you sort of just pointed at it and then... Like now here we are talking about it and you're still going on about it. Just like that on the in-flight
it's
magazine.
It's like spinning the globe and putting your finger there, but this is the in-flight magazine.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's really fun. Talk to me about just how you balance up enjoying your travel versus capturing your travel. Because how do you do it?
You can't. That's why some vloggers, they burn out.
Mm.
Because you're always... Even before making videos, I've actually only started making YouTube videos consistently in 2021. Right. Before that, I wrote a lot.
Mm.
And even when I travel, it's always my eyes are always looking around, especially when I'm flying. I never sleep when I fly. Because I'm always observing, I'm always absorbing, I'm always taking mental notes. And sometimes when the mental notes get too much, I whip up my phone and I have notes in my phone. And all these things that I gather goes into my blog, goes into something I write, goes into something I put in the video. So I'm always constantly working. I never switch off, especially when I'm flying.
That's so interesting because I think a lot of us travel to escape that. Mental bandwidth, and you're saying you sort of ramp it up when you don't sleep. Oh my gosh,
I don't. So if I fly to the US, I'll be awake for 31, 35 hours, just absorbing every single flight. That's why the older I get, it gets harder.
Yeah. And the information you share in your videos, you can tell that you've actually thought about it and observed. In fact, you even saw that snake in the lead up to that abandoned house. Like, how did you see that? So you're obviously very good at observing things. I would have missed it for sure. And so
excuse me. To be honest, I did not see it until the very last minute.
Made great footage. So
that was scary because I actually saw that snake through the little lens of my GoPro. I didn't even see the snake.
No way.
So this is how fixated I was in getting the shot, because I was looking at the GoPro like this. My eyes were crossed looking at the screen, and then I went, "Oh, what's that round thing?" And then I was like, "Oh, it's a very round, random round thing to be just there on the steps, you know?"
Yeah.
So that was when I saw that it was a snake. I mean, you can't tell it on the GoPro, but when I saw it, I was actually pretty close to it. So I'm glad it was asleep, because if it wasn't, it would have pounced at me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could have been really dangerous.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So that was dangerous. And I'm there by myself. And like you say, I don't have a sat phone. Your mobile has no reception out there. But I did tell the hotel where I was going, so that was good.
Yeah, good on you. Yeah. Finally, do you have any sort of like one or two travel tips for those of us now that the world has opened up again? That you
travel insurance.
Any? Do you want to recommend a particular company?
To be honest, I don't. Okay. Because I go with whoever, before I fly, just go to comparethemarket.com.
Yeah.
Look at who's the cheapest and who gives you the most at that price. Because one thing I like about comparethemarket.com is you're able to put in your requirements. So you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
And the next step is looking at how much each cost.
Yeah, fantastic. We'll put a link to that in the show notes. Ryan, do you want to give your YouTube channel a bit of a plug and anywhere else we can contact you?
Yeah. So if you're interested in looking at my videos, so my channel is Ryan So Fly. Ryan is my name, and So as in S-O. Fly as an F-L-Y. So, go there, you know, give me a like, give me a comment, look at my videos, and just basically tell me what you think. And of course, if you have any suggestions where you want me to travel to next, that would be pretty good as well. That gives me an idea about what sort of travel I can plan going forward. Yeah.
Oh, well, Ryan, I have to say, I'd love you to get to the Kimberley region. So Broome to Kununurra, I think you would love that.
Before Cape York, I was actually looking at Western Australia. Mm-hmm. I was looking at Broome because, you know, a lot of frequent flying members take very, very stunning photographs out of the airport.
Yeah, I live there for it. That's like an image of Broome just behind me.
Oh, behind you. Okay, yeah. Okay. Oh, nice. Yeah.
Amazing. Ryan, thank you so much for being on the show and sharing your story, how you live life with intention, what it takes to be a YouTuber and how you observe things and capture it so beautifully on your channel. Looking forward to sending listeners over there. Thanks so much for being here.
Well, thanks for having me.
You're the best. Thank you so much for tuning in to Work and Live Large. I really appreciate you. If you know someone in your network and you think, oh my gosh, they've got so much potential, like I want them to live and work larger, send them this episode. I think they might appreciate it. I also appreciate hearing from you, your feedback, your thoughts, your questions, anything. You can shoot me an email, hello@leannehughes.com, or find me on LinkedIn, just search for Leanne Hughes. Stay up to date with all the episodes by heading on over to leannehughes.com/subscribe, and all the best with your week as you go around living it up.